Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Faith Church. If this is your first visit, please sign our guest book. I am Alan Gaywicki, a ruling elder here, and I'm bringing a message to you. I hate the term filling the pulpit. I should be standing down there behind that instead of up here. To call us to worship, hear the words of David from Psalm 65:4. How blessed is the one you chose and bring close to you to dwell in your courts. He will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come into your presence. You gave the gift of your Son. He died on a cross to allow us to enter your courts. Help us to be close to him, to depend on him. We ask that you would bless your churches throughout this city as your believers gather in faithfulness to you and to serve you. Father, we ask that you truly would see us as your people, that we might be obedient servants. Father, we pray in the name of the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke 17. And I have written down 6 to 10. I'm going to start in verse 5 instead. Luke 17, 5 to 10. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come immediately and sit down and eat. But will he not say to him, prepare something for me to eat and properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink. He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded of you, say, we are unworthy slaves, and we have done only that which we ought to have done. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's turn in back of our hymnals to the larger catechism and read responsively. Is where we'll start. And we are going to skip over 25 and 26. Which is the fifth commandment? Who are meant by father and mother in the fifth commandment?
Thy father and mother in the fifth commandment are meant not only natural parents, but also superiors in age and gifts, especially such as by God's ordinance are ordered us in place of authority, whether in family, church, or commonwealth.
And question 27. What is the honor that inferiors owe their superiors? What are the sins of inferiors against their superiors? What is required of superiors towards their inferiors? What are the sins of superiors? Let's turn the Old Testament to Ruth. And I'm going to read the whole chapter of Ruth, or the second chapter of Ruth. And I am reading from the New American Standard, so it's going to be slightly different from the Pew Bible. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth and of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I might find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, "May the Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant in charge of the reapers replied, "She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab." And she said, Please let me glean and gather among the reapers among the sheaves." Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap. Go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? Boaz replied to her, All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother, the land of your birth, and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. Then she said, I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, Come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. You shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of grain of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law said to her, Where did you glean today, and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, The name of the man whom I work today is Boaz. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, May he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and the dead. Again Naomi said to her, The man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, Furthermore, he said to me, You should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids, so that others do not fall upon you in another field. So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father, we ask that you would help us to understand your word, that you would give us the wisdom to apply it in our lives. Father, we need you in our lives, our guidance, but we come to you with needs as well. We pray for all our missionaries that they might truly see fruits for their labors, that they might know that their labors are not in vain. Let your word not go out without returning with abundant blessings. We ask that you would be with each and every individual in here, that you might strengthen them, bring them closer to you. We say this in Christ's name. Amen. Practice, practice, practice. Let's turn back a second to Luke. the apostles in Luke 5, why increase our faith? And his response to that, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. How do we grow in faith? Think about what he says here in verse 7. Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he comes in from the field, come immediately and eat? Will you look at what? Or would you say to him, prepare something for me to eat and properly clothe yourself and serve me? And while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink. He's worked all day. And yet you want him to serve you. He does not thank the slave. He did the things that were commanded. That's all he did. So you too, when you do all the things which you are commanded, you say, we are unworthy slaves. And we have done only which we ought to have done. The master and the slave, what does it have to do with our faith? How does it apply? Now think about that as we look at Ruth. Many families have events which have occurred in the past, comical, or affected the family so greatly that their stories are told for generations. I don't know if there's things in my family that are told that got the attention for several generations before before it disappears. We look at the story of Naomi and Ruth. We know it is a story of how Ruth became the great-grandmother of David. Naomi is the only person with the help of Ruth that would have had all the information that's recorded in the story. And there's an interesting thing that's recorded in the fourth chapter of Ruth. In verse 4:16, Naomi took the child and held him in her lap and became his nurse. This is the barren woman that had no hope when she returned to Bethlehem. And she is given a grandson, or a son. Technically, she is not the grandmother. But Ruth had claimed her. Is this a love story? I don't think so. To me, it's not. It's a story of faith. A story of love of a higher up for his people. Let's look at some facts about when the story was first told. The blessings of God are on this family. We know for a fact Boaz, Ruth, Obed are in the bloodline of Christ. Ruth was called to be the wife of Boaz. You cannot read this story and not say God intervened to bring this about. One other thing I would like to contemplate is the age of the individuals. It's not mentioned, and it doesn't really make any difference, but it does when you think about how they relate to each other and the things that they say to one another. Ruth and Naomi are a generation apart. 15 to 25 years is what I estimate. By the time her son was old enough to take a wife, he may have taken a wife that was slightly younger than him. That's a tendency. But I picture Boaz as even older than Naomi was. He may have been an older relative that grieved over Elimelech turning away from the assembly and sojourning in among God's enemies. That's just my impression, though. He was at least of the same generation as Naomi, partly because when he first sees her, he asks, "Whose young woman is this?" He did not recognize her as one of the women that would be gathering the sheaves. He knows she's a gleaner. And he addresses her later when he speaks to her as "my daughter." Also, the behavior that he has is that of one who has had years of concern over people under his care. We have a chance to look at the lives of God's chosen people. These are blessed people that we get to look in on a day in their lives. This is one day that we're looking at in chapter 2. It is, and just about every couple in here I have asked, how did you meet your husband? Or how did the two of you come together? I've asked every couple because it tells a lot about how these people have come together. We are looking at the first meeting of Boaz and Ruth. Let's look at the story. Apparently, Naomi was well known in the town of Bethlehem before she left, before her and her husband departed for Moab. She returns to the village. She considers herself desperate, destitute, without any hope. The stories, if we review what we learned last week, what we looked at last week, or chapter 1, the story set in the time of the judges. A widow, Naomi, has returned after the loss of both her sons with one of her widowed daughters-in-law. Naomi is apparently too old to remarry and her son and bear sons to continue the husband's line. And that's based on Deuteronomy 25, 5 to 10. Ruth is a Moabitess. No descendant of Moab could enter the assembly even to the 10th generation. Deuteronomy 23, 4. They have returned at the beginning of the wheat and barley harvest. In Ruth 2, verse 1, we're told about Boaz. This is just to tell us who he is. It's important, or it's something they give, giving us advance information, because in verse 2, where Ruth and asked permission of her mother to leave and go and glean, there's no indication that she is directing her to any of Elimelech's family to depend on them for sustenance. There's some marginal notes in this. Naomi had a kinsman, and the marginal note, an acquaintance of her husband. Doesn't say family member, it says acquaintance. A man of great wealth. And the marginal note for that is a mighty, valiant man. Is he a warrior? Is he wealthy? Or is he a judge in the land of Israel? It doesn't tell us, you know, there's no other descriptions of him, but he is of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. In verse 2, we start with the conversations. Now think about what Jesus said to his disciples as we look at this. Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I might find favor. I do not think she is looking for someone who is going to take her in. She is looking for someone who will let her glean. Has anybody in the room ever gleaned in a field? It's hard work, isn't it? Where do you find what you're looking for if you're gleaning in a barley harvest? Down in the stubble. The ones that they miss, they cut it off. They gather all the ones that they can and bind them together. You are looking for the single stalk of grain that fell down into the stubble to the ground. You're looking close and scouring to get a head with 20 grains on it. She is looking for someone who will let, finding favor, I believe, is she's looking for someone who will let her get close enough to behind the gatherers that she can actually find stalks of grain. Naomi says, go, my daughter. Ruth would want to get an early start so she could get there and find when they started. If Naomi believed that any of her husbands would be interested in giving any partiality to their efforts, there is no indication in that conversation where to go. The fact that they're allowed to do it is God's provision for widows and those that are poor. It's commanded in the law. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz. The marginal note for that, her chanced upon the portion of the land. Do you really think this is just a coincidence? I love those. It's two words. There's a double chance in there. It would probably be more accurate to say she was led by the Lord to the land, or to the portion of the land of the field belonging to Boaz. But we know from verse 7, when she got there, she approached the person in charge. She had never seen any of these people before. And she says, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." Ruth had the courtesy to request the permission for her activity. If you had a field that you were harvesting, and you were had gleaners going between the sheaves, where would be the easiest place to get some grain? Just pull it out of the sheaves. She is asking for trust. If we look at the other side of this, Boaz apparently knew the laws providing food for the poor. If you want to look at them, they're Leviticus 19, 9 to 10, 23 and 22, and Deuteronomy 24, 17 to 22. And he had directed his servants on how to follow them. He did not turn her away. Look at the greeting that Boaz has for his reapers when he arrives. Verse 4. "May the Lord be with you." And they responded to him, "And may the Lord bless you." Farmers tend to depend a whole lot more on the Lord than what we city dwellers do. They are constantly dependent on his blessings of rain, the seeds to sprout, the warmth of the sun. And would you greet somebody like that on just an average day if it wasn't a lifelong commitment? And we know this is the bloodline that Christ comes through. The people, when this story was told, they're just people living their life. When he saw the woman, he did not know her. He asked who she was. It doesn't tell us when the question was asked or whether the servant that was in charge knew who she was. Was his wife one of the ones that met Naomi and said, "Is this Naomi?" Had she seen them come back to the city and had told her husband? Or did the servant in charge of the reapers ask her the question when she arrived, "Who are you?" We're not told that. But in verse 11, he states that all that she had done for her mother-in-law had been reported to him. He knew of her, but he didn't necessarily recognize her. My sister calls this a love story. It is a story of faith. They are faithful people. Let's read 4 through 14. I'll read it to you. "Now behold, Boaz came from Jerusalem and said to the reapers, 'May the Lord be with you.' And they said, 'May the Lord bless you.' Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, 'Whose young woman is this?' The servant in charge of the reapers replied, "She is a young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers from among the sheaves." Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." First time they've ever met. Who's a servant? Who's a slave? What would Moab was a bitter enemy of the Israelites. They refused to let them come through their land when they were traveling. The idea of being a slave, would a foreigner from an enemy of your people, would you even allow them into your field? Most people would consider her less than a slave. Let's continue a little bit. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, I envision this is happening in a day. They've worked all morning. They're resting for the noonday break. Then there's a mealtime. Boaz came out for the meal with his worker, or for his workers. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she said to the reaper. She sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose again to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles, and leave it that she may glean. Do not rebuke her." He is providing specifically for her. He is not leaving her to her own, to the, what do I want to call it? The failure of his servants to gather all of the stocks of grain. He's making provision for her. In 15 to 20, or continuing on, So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law said to her, "What did you glean today, and where did you work?" If you've gleaned, and I imagine Ruth had since she was destitute, you know about how much you're going to gather. Her mother-in-law knows. And how many of the landowners, when they had gleaners in their field, would have fed them lunch? I think this is something unusual. Naomi says, "May he who took notice of you be blessed." May he, and in verse 20, "May he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and the dead." Naomi knew, when she told her who it was, Naomi knew he was a relative, a very close kinsman. If you think about what is a redeemer? Someone who saves you from a problem. Naomi was in a foreign land, having to travel back by herself to her city of Bethlehem. Was Ruth her redeemer? She gave up what she had to make sure her mother-in-law safely returned home. She's going out into the field and gathering food for them to survive on. Boaz is the, back in verse 12, "May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, who's under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." How many times have we heard that in the Bible? Under whose wings Christ says he wants to take Jerusalem. Under his wings, like a mother hen. If you've ever seen it happen, you don't forget what it was. The catechism questions that we read. How do the lives of these people reflect what is said for a superior and an inferior? You go back to Christ's words to his apostles. Did Boaz put himself lower than Ruth and feed her? He served her. He held out with his own hand a way that she, as if I was in the situation that she was, I would have taken just barely enough to eat because it's something I didn't deserve, something I had no reason to receive. Or he gives it to her personally, providing for her. Is he in love with her? He just met her. This is strictly being obedient, showing God's love and his faithfulness and belief in the commands that God gave them. He is obedient to the commandments. Ruth is being faithful to what her position is. She bows down, face to the ground, to her master. Can we apply these actions of being servants in our lives? This is not recorded for any particular reason except to show how Ruth and Boaz met. They aren't dealing with a war or anything else. They are just doing what God has commanded them to do in their everyday lives. This could have happened to a different person besides Ruth. We don't know. There may have been more than one reaper there. Things had not been good in Israel in the time of the judges. They were struggling. But they lived by faith. And they acted on that. And if Boaz was truly a wealthy man, and he's willing to give away, the Lord has blessed him for that action. Let's pray. Father, help us to be the faithful servants, to recognize that no matter how we try, we are only doing what is commanded. There is nothing in this story that's over and above what you have in your law. They are being obedient servants to you. Help us to be the same in our day, in our walk. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.